I'd forgotten actually some of it myself, the testimony with John and Hannah and the boys, and how, if you remember, you know, the wanting to really abort Braden, and they were saying that there really wasn't a chance possibly of him even living, and then they were saying that, you know, it was going to be a severe down situation. There were deformities, physical deformities that they were predicting, and a lot of other different, just evil reports that had come in, and how the Lord just reached in and touched and blessed, and praise God, two strong little babies. I can remember going down preemies, but going down and praying for them. And I remember putting my hand through the incubator, and, you know, their legs smaller than your index finger, and just to see the goodness of God. Amen. And so we just want to boast on him. Tonight we're going to start with Taylor and Sarah, and they're going to come up and join us, and we're going to just let them share, you know, this latest miracle that we've seen in our midst, and give Father all the glory. We're not going to limit it to, physical healings. We're going to be talking about, because we're talking about the power of prayer. We're talking about God answering prayer and honoring his promises to us, that the effectual fervent praying of righteous men avail much. Amen. And so, you know, we need to believe God for these results to manifest themselves. And so we're going to talk about some of the prodigals who have come home. And I think those are some great testimonies. We want to talk about, and some of you, it's going to take, you know, be prayerful about it. And, you know, if it's a pride situation, deal with that. But just looking for ways to let Father be glorified. You know, we're looking at airing some of these over in Africa possibly. But we've had some marriages healed here that were miraculous, what God has done to really put lives back together. And so as we're looking at this, we're going to go across the board, and we want to deal with, marriages that have been healed in answer to prayer. We want to deal with some of the physical healings. We're going to deal with, as I shared, we've seen some great miraculous things in intercession for prodigals returning home. Some of us still have people out on the streets that need to get back. Amen. And so we want to encourage ourselves and not faint, and put these things up as areas of remembrance. So that's kind of where we're headed. And so you be prayerful, and testimonies that you might have. Some of us, we've passed over things from, you know, a number of years back that can be a real comfort to people that are in those situations right now. And so just ask Father to deal with your heart and see if there's something that you feel could be edifying to the body of Christ. So that's where we're headed. Taylor, Sarah, where are you guys? Yeah, just come on up and join us up here. As they're coming, let's just pray, and let's believe Father to just be glorified here in our midst, and that somehow these testimonies would go out and touch hearts, and people could really, understand the goodness of God. And that in our lives at this time, God is present to heal. It's his will to daily load us with benefits, praise God. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we ask first of all that tonight you would be glorified here in our midst. We want to make your name big, and we're so thankful, Father, for your goodness. And so we ask tonight that as we lift our hearts to you in thanksgiving and in praise, that we could shout from the housetops the visitation of our God in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that your promises are yea and amen. We thank you that you've answered prayer. You've said that if we would abide in you and your words would abide in us. We could ask what we would and it would be done unto us. And we stand on that promise, Father. You've said the effectual, fervent praying of righteous men avail much. And so we ask you to put in our hearts a fervency, a zeal to see your name glorified, to see your power manifest, that men would have to know that notable miracles have been done. They can't deny that a notable miracle has been done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, that you are raised from the dead, you're triumphant, you sit at the right hand of God, you ever live to make intercession for us. We say thank you, Father, and we want to boast in you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So it's an exciting time, and you guys didn't know we were going to even be sitting down to have this till a couple of minutes ago, so be prayerful for them. Amen. But, you know, as we were just praying and just talking to Father, what a great time in His presence that you all have had. And, you know, as you're sharing the testimony, I mean, it's a great miracle of what He's done. But, you know, the residual things are just as great a miracles. The character working in our lives. Because you can't face death. You can't face situations where your wife is wrestling with standing in faith or do I take medicine or whatever, and not die in the process and not face fear. I mean, we'd all be lying if we say we don't contend with the fears and the doubts and these areas. But at the same time, you know, the grace that's there, that's sufficient in our lives, and that miracle so many times gets overlooked, but it's really the greatest of the miracles that take place. And then of course the benefit of the healing, you know, the scripture where, you know, the boasting in bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. He that forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. So, we want to just give you an opportunity to share a little bit, and in this process, you know, I think Taylor, as we were just pointing some of those things out, what were some of the things that you were battling with as the head of the house? I know we've spoken to some of these things, but maybe you can share a little bit about what Father did.
So as Pastor mentioned, and he was, and Greer were so good just taking time with us many times, late hours, just calling them. And some of the things that I shared specifically with Pastor, and I've shared with some of you, as we've been walking through this and, over the last year really, but it was even longer than a year, just for me, finding that balance between, letting Sarah's faith, not trying to squash her faith in any way, and yet try to bring the balance of like walking in kind of sanctified intellect and practical wisdom. And so over the last year, trying to kind of go through that. And there was times where I know it was just so much that I would just be like, you know what? I just don't even want to think about it. And other times where we're both seeking the Lord. And, you know, I think it's really difficult when your wife comes to you and it's a life or death situation, as you mentioned, and she's really wanting to stand on the word of God. And I won't steal some of the verses and things that stuck out to her, but just that principle of like the Lord spoke to me to just trust Him and not look to the doctors. And I know I'm sitting there just really struggling with like, you know, okay, well, it's so much easier when it's you, right? Than watch the person you love, you know, maybe die standing in faith. Yep. And, that was a very real struggle. And a lot of doubts and fears, and Satan brings kind of the are you being presumptuous? Like, how do you really know it's the Lord? And some of those things, but just as, you know, watching Sarah spend a lot of time in prayer and just some changes in her life, I know she can share, but it was just so real to her. And as I sought the Lord as well, I mean, we just chose to stand on God's word, and it's not sin to take medicine, as we all know. But, once Sarah came to me and said, I believe this is what the Lord spoke to me. And then just walking that out for me was difficult at times, but I just, you know, I was trying to walk that balance of really not squandering her faith and letting her really trust the Lord. And and she came around to the point that it was very encouraging, where she said, look, I believe this is what the Lord spoke to me, but if you tell me to take the medicine, that's the Lord speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just that principle as well. Seeing her say that just kind of brought encouragement to me as well. So.
Amen. Yeah, and I think that's just another real great thing in the process, you know, and to be able to come to that place then is the evidence of real faith working. You know, now we're at a place of not saying demanding my will and my way and I'm holding God to this, to where you can come in faith and say, here's divine order. You're my spiritual head. We're one. You know, the world today would have us say, well, this is my body and I can do with it what I choose to do. And that's not scriptural. We've become one flesh. We're one. And so we have to work together. And Sarah, for you to be able to come to that place, what a great blessing and miracle that is. And genuine faith to where you can say, I believe when you speak, that's God speaking to me. I believe personally that's a great part of what created this environment for God to put that final touch on what He was doing in your life and in your lives. And so that's a very exciting process. Sarah, maybe you can just share, you know, as Taylor was sharing from his perspective, but what Father was speaking to you, and not everybody knows the whole story, so if you can just start at the beginning and, you know, when you first found out about this, how it progressed from there, and it'd be a blessing, and God will be glorified.
It kind of goes back to 2015, and I want to start, because it was that whole year I started feeling poorly. But in the summer of that year is when I actually got filled with the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
in June. And I had been filled with the Holy Spirit before, but it was something where I wasn't positive if I was, you know, it was very mild and mm-hmm. come and go kind of thing. So I was like, am I really filled? And then when I got filled, it was like for 3 hours, I couldn't stop speaking in tongues. And it was so undeniable in my life. I was like, okay,
hallelujah.
You know, and for me, I've always thought of myself as having very weak faith. My parents always told me I was a doubter. I never trusted anyone, you know. So that, the Lord just did that for me. I really felt like to show me like, this is real.
Hallelujah.
And then, so I had been feeling poorly that year. And then come November, I started feeling really poorly. But again, I just, like most moms do, kind of shrug it off and you just keep going, until February of 2016, and I had lost a lot of weight and couldn't eat or drink anything without having reflux and so many crazy symptoms. If you look up liver failure and all those symptoms, I had all those symptoms and more.
Turning yellow.
It wasn't until I really turned yellow that I was like, all right, I think I should go to the doctor. And I didn't have a primary care, so we just looked one up and went. And the on February 6th, or February 4th, I hadn't gone to the doctor yet. I was going the next day, and I just had been feeling so terrible. And I was just like, Lord, I just need something. Like, just, I don't know what's going on in my body, but I know you know. And I just happened to open my Bible kind of flippantly and started reading through Chronicles a little bit. And I came across this story of King Asa, and I honestly could not remember ever reading it before then. And the Lord just spoke so clearly to my heart at that time, in the verses 9 and 12, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And then it goes on, and Asa was in his 39th year of his reign with his, and he had a disease in his feet. And until his disease was exceedingly great, yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but he looked to the physicians. And at that time, the Lord spoke it so clearly in my heart, whatever's going on with your body, just look to me, continue to seek me, and don't look to the physicians, they don't have the answer for you. And I wrote it in my Bible at that time, and the next day I went to the doctor, and from there, a week or two later, it was a Sunday afternoon, and we drove into our driveway at our house, and we were just sitting in the car, and I looked at Taylor, and I'm not a very dramatic person. I was like, hon, I feel like I'm dying. I was like, should we go to the ER today? He was like, no, you'll be fine, you know, and you'll get your blood work. And the next day they called and said, Sarah, there's something really wrong with your liver. You need to go to the emergency room right away. So I went to the ER, and from there, they pretty much told me, you're in end-stage liver failure, and we don't know why. So for the next 12 hours, they just started doing every test you can imagine. I'd been to Africa a few times, so they checked all the hepatitises, they checked cancers, they did all the MRI, CT, ultrasound, CAT scan, X-ray, checked for parasites and everything. Everything just kept coming back negative, except for the fact that an autoimmune thing came up positive. And then under that, you know, the strand for like lupus or autoimmune hepatitis. And they were like, you know, so they just kept still checking everything. And
they kept asking me if she did drugs or was drinking. And that they really thought that that was maybe the issue.
Right.
Yeah, like they checked drug tests, everything. And they kept asking Taylor, like privately, has she been in her right mind? Like, because when you're that toxic, when your liver doesn't function and you're that level, you should have, you know, brain failure, heart failure, you know, you have a lot of these things mm-hmm. going on. But it felt fine. And as soon as we got, I think we sent out a email and literally all the symptoms I've been having for months disappeared. Like, and they were, so they kept asking me how I felt. I was like, I feel great. I feel fine. And, so nobody, you know, all these doctors kept coming in and looking at me and everybody was just kind of like, wow, this girl's in end stage liver failure and she looks great, you know, and she's so, let's see. So fast forward about 2 days in the hospital. They were like, all right, look, we're going to have to put you on steroids to bring your liver enzymes down because they're still going up and, you know, you're at a very dangerous place. You're going to get cirrhosis. You die from this. Mm-hmm. So
what were the numbers back then approximately? Do you remember?
They got to about 900, 960.
Mm-hmm. And what was normal?
Under 30. Yeah.
960?
Yeah, 30 times normal.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very dangerous. You know, they had me on heart monitors and all this stuff.
Yeah. But you felt good.
I felt great. I was doing like workouts in the hospital and, you know, they're just, understand it. So I said, okay, you know, I'll take the steroids because they were like, look, we're not letting you out of the hospital unless you go on this stuff. So I was there for 5 days. So I got on the steroids and these different things. But within 5 days, I had gained 20 pounds. I just blew up like an elephant and, all the symptoms that you can get from steroids, I got, you know, the sleeplessness, the night sweats, they swelled my joints. I literally lost function of my legs, had to call Vanessa to come get my kids because it was crazy. So the doctor, I went in for a checkup. He said, stop immediately, just stop it. He'd never seen somebody react like that. So I got off the medication and then from there, they just continued to check my blood every week. And things progressively just kept going down a little bit. You know, they were still at dangerously high ranges, but they kept going down. And then in March, things shot back up again. And I was like, Lord, like, what are you doing? I thought this was in your hands kind of thing. And then Pastor John actually did a teaching, and it was on Daniel. And the Lord, again, just spoke to me out of Daniel, and I wrote it in my Bible then, March 6th, and it was when Daniel chose not to partake of the king's meat. And I wrote, Daniel didn't know the outcome of his choice to not partake. All he knew was that God spoke to him to set himself apart and abstain, and that's what he did, regardless of a positive or negative response from the king and from his servants. So when God tells you to do something, even if it seems small or foolish, stick with it and do it. Because you answer to God someday, not men.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just knew that was the Lord again saying, continue on the path I've told you to do. So they end up sending us down to University of Virginia at that point to the Liver Transplant Center. And when we went there, they got us all ready for a liver transplant. You go through the whole rigmarole. And they told us we're going to do a liver biopsy on you to see what stage of cirrhosis or fibrosis your liver's in, and they redid a whole bunch of blood work, and the biopsy came back very bad, as they were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting it to come back really good, but so again, I was like, Lord, you gotta do something. And all my liver cells, so they took it from multiple spots, it was all dead. I showed the typical autoimmune hepatitis, and today I was looking up some stats on autoimmune hepatitis just to make sure I wasn't being dramatic in my thinking, but within 6 months of being diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis, patients that don't start medication, 40% of patients die. Mm-hmm. It's a very serious thing. Your liver dies very quickly.
Sure.
And like I said, I was in end-stage liver failure, so I had a very short time to live. And the doctor impressed on us how serious this was, and you need to start these immunosuppression medications and the steroids right away, because if you don't, this irreversible damage will happen to your liver, and you will die or you'll be a liver transplant person. So at each appointment, you know, we just kept telling them, all right, we know what you're saying, we understand, we thank you, but we're just going to wait. And at each appointment we prayed, like, Lord, do you want us to start medication? And we just never got that go ahead. And then, let's see.
Is this in the time period now where that graph that you were showing us started, or was that a little bit later?
Could wait, probably a little bit later.
Okay.
We'll wait till we get the, yeah.
But it's the same time period, these test results that are on the graph.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you want me to show them?
I don't know. Do we have
Yeah, it'd be good. Why don't we put those copies of the graph up there, and you can kind of see what the process was as they were getting these reports that were coming back. And
yeah, so I can explain this quick.
That'd be good.
Okay. I feel like I'm doing a presentation at work here. Yeah, well, Danny's not here, so, you know. Yeah, so what you see here, I just kind of quickly threw this together. So what you see, it's actually a little bit easier to see on this side. So what you see on the left-hand side there is the counts, so from 0 to 1,000. So what you see there is that first time where Sarah said that we got admitted to the hospital, that blue bar there on the far left, you see it's reaching almost to 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that means she was 25 to 30 times normal range. And the different color bars are just the different enzyme counts that they take. So the ALT, the AST, and then the alkaline phosphatase. I learned so much about the body and the liver over the last year that I never knew about. So what you can see there, they're kind of faint, but there's some horizontal dotted lines, and that's the high end of the normal range. And so over the last year, Sarah's levels were never normal. So you know, you can see how they would trend down, they'd go back up, they'd trend down, go back up. And then, of course, the last one, and I don't want to necessarily steal the punchline from Sarah, but all of her levels over this last week were completely normal and or below normal.
Hallelujah.
So,
praise you, Jesus.
So I stole the punchline from Sarah.
But I wanted to share.
That's okay, because we kind of knew, you know, it's like the guy that's telling the story, and he's, you know, you don't know if he's going to live or die, but he's there telling you the story, so you kind of, you know. Go ahead.
But last summer after the biopsy, I started getting a little bit fearful and nervous, and so, you know, I started really changing up my diet and doing all these things that I could do in the natural to try to cause my immune system to calm down, mm-hmm. and all these self-healing liver foods and all these kind of things. In the back of my mind, I kept thinking, is this, should I do that, Lord? You know, kind of was going back and forth. And then when we went back to the doctor in August, my blood work had gotten actually quite a bit better. And so as we were saying, thank you, God, but in the back of my mind, I was like, man, is it my diet and my, you know, my exercise and my good sleep and all these low stress things, you know? So it was kind of like, is it really that? And then in September, I started feeling really bad again. And it was actually a Sunday here at church. I was feeling so poorly and I was about to go home, but I was just kind of warring in my spirit, and Mrs. Burrell spoke out in worship and prayed specifically for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then instantly all the symptoms went away and the pain. And so it was just a real confirmation. The Lord was there with me again. You know, he's just so faithful.
I think that's a good, just a good thing too to rejoice in. I mean, the gifts of the Spirit, the body as we flow, and how important it is to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God's saying to us at any moment. You know, we just don't know when the Spirit would quicken our hearts, and whether it's just a word spoken in faith, you know, a prayer like this that comes out spontaneous, the Holy Ghost, we see things happen. Amen. And so, you know, this is where body ministry is so vital and why we've been encouraging it, you know, especially in these last years, to be prayerful and to bear one another's burdens, to be consciously aware of the needs among us and to let them start being a part of your life. And, you know, then we can see the Spirit of God move in the gifts like this. So that's an exciting, exciting thing that we're seeing that in our midst as the Holy Spirit's moving. Go ahead.
And it was also that month that Mrs. Martindale and Chris Weiner came up to me and they were like, hey, you know, I've actually stopped praying for you because the Lord just gave me a total peace that you're healed. You're healed in the name of Jesus and I'm done. I'm not praying. You're done. It's healed. And I was like, well, I sure hope it starts manifesting soon. But, you know, it was a real confirmation as well to my spirit. Like, all right, well, the Lord's speaking to other people too. So
hallelujah.
I was just encouraging. And then I started this antioxidants and all these other things to help my liver because I started feeling poorly. So we go back in November. I was feeling great. I thought, it's got to be all done. It's got to be healed. And the liver doctor, the hepatologist, the head director of the UVA, you know, he even said, he was like, I've never seen somebody come back from end-stage liver failure to health like you are at now. And with no symptoms, he's like, it's incredible. And he said, so today, he's like, hopefully all your levels are normal and I don't need to see you again back here. And I was like, yeah. So we checked my blood and he called the next day and he almost sounded like he was in tears on the other end of the phone. And he was like, you're getting worse again. And, he's like, you just don't understand the severity of your disease there. He said, you're going to die within the next year. And, so he said, I want you to go to Georgetown. I want you to go to John Hopkins. I want you to get more opinions. Maybe they can convince you of the severity of this disease. But he said, you need to start these immune suppression medications and these steroids or you're going to die. And he just kept saying it. And at that time, just a real fear came over me that I hadn't experienced prior and a real darkness. Like I just didn't sense the Lord's presence anymore. And, as soon as he hung up, I didn't even call Taylor to tell him. I called Georgetown and John Hopkins and tried to get through to set up appointments. Nobody answered, so I left messages. And it was a Wednesday. And so I couldn't even call Taylor to tell him. I was just so much fear. And he came home. I told him. I texted Greer. And she said, you know, Pastor would like to talk to you guys tonight before church. And I was like, I just don't feel like even talking to Pastor.
And she basically said no, and I texted you yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt so bad. And I, in such a dark place, you know, I was like, I just need to hear from God right now. And he's not telling me anything. So we went and, you know, we spoke with you guys and you shared so much from your heart. And we're really touched with our infirmities. You could just sense it. But still nothing was really, like, hitting my heart. And then towards the end, you paused. And you just were quiet for a second. And then you shared, you know, Sarah, there's an aspect of abiding in the vine. When you're abiding in the vine, you know, God can, you can hear from God. But if something's cut off that connection, and you were like, just make sure you're abiding in the vine. And boom, that just like went right into my heart and I just knew that was what was wrong. And so for the next 3 days, well, I didn't know it would take 3 days, but I just started praying and fasting and just trying to hear from the Lord again. And again, it was so dark. It was a darkness I probably haven't experienced since I had been saved. Like I just felt like I wasn't saved anymore. I felt like God wasn't real, that I'd missed everything this whole past year. So as I was praying and fasting the third day, I was just painting something in my house and the Lord just spoke to my heart one word, repent. And I just got down on my knees and just started bawling. Cause the Lord just started speaking so many things to me about what was wrong. My pride, my independence, so much just arrogance and thinking that I knew or could, you know, figure this out through my diet and all these other things. And so much just showed me a new revelation of wickedness in my heart. And then a few days after that, you know, I just kept seeking the Lord and he really spoke to me out of Isaiah 58. And I just want to share some of the passages because again, this is just a huge, huge thing. So in Isaiah 58, it talks about, and you know, the people are saying, they're telling God, God, we've fasted, we've done all these things, we've afflicted ourselves, we're doing all these things, but you're taking no knowledge of it. We're not, you know, experiencing your presence in our lives. And, let's see here. And they wanted, so they wanted to have God's presence, but they didn't want to give up all their other things. Mm-hmm. You know, like God was saying, fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. And like God started speaking to me, like, you just need to loose the bonds of wickedness. And I was like, Lord, what kind of wickedness is in my life? Like, I can't think of any mm-hmm. wickedness. And then he just started showing me, you know, and I wrote it down at the time. And so I'll just read it. He said, you know, just acknowledge that so many of your hobbies and your entertainments and your vanities, you know, your occupations, all these things, they're idols before me. You know, it's that time that's in front of the mirror. It's the workouts, the social media, the holistic medicine that you think you're doing, these remedies, the shopping, the TV time, the book reading, all these things that are keeping you from seeking me and that pearl of great price. This is the wickedness that's in your life. And he was just telling me, like, you love those things more than you love me. Because if you really loved me, then I would be the one that's consuming you. I would define your life. You know, my conversations, what I think about, my discretionary time, all those things would be consumed with God, not with me. Mm-hmm. And they were consumed with me. And, he just really broke me. And I felt like for the next 2 months, I just repented all the time. Like, the Lord just kept bringing things up. But, you know, at the same time, I felt the love of God at the greatest that I think I'd ever felt mm-hmm. it, because I realized what a horrible person I was, but how much God would still love me.
Amen.
And he would still speak to me, and he still cared for me despite all these things, you know, and my ignorance. So it was really just a really great, great time.
Amen. That's that true abiding that we take. You know, we say, well, I am abiding in him, and he was bringing you to understand what it means to abide in him through all of this. And it's a little bit of what Moses was going through, you know, when the Lord said, well, I'll send you up, you can have all these blessings, but my presence won't go with you. And when we really begin to establish what is that pearl of great price, what do I want more than anything? You know, you can have my family, you can have, I just have got to have your presence or I can't live. And when we come there, you know, there's some good stuff that can happen in our lives. And so that's part of the great process that when trials like you were in that people face, this is where he's wanting to bring us. And so it's an exciting process. And all of us here need to come to those same, you know, those same pursuits, even though we're not being faced with a, you know, life-threatening situation. And so, praise God. That's why so often in these worst of trials, we can just thank God, you know, as we're benefiting then from these things, and can then declare all things do work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So hallelujah. Some good fruit. Yeah. Go ahead.
So Georgetown Johns Hopkins never called us back. And we just took that as a sign from the Lord, just not to go that direction at that time. So we mutually decided, let's get through the holidays, and then come the new year, we'll pray and find out what God wants us to do next. So come January, I really made that a matter of prayer. Lord, do you want us to go to Georgetown, Johns Hopkins, back to UVA, start medication? And I wasn't hearing anything. We talked to Pastor Ron, we spoke with you to see if there was, you know, anything that the Lord was speaking, and you guys just encouraged us, you got to hear from the Lord, and you know, maybe Taylor, you should step out and just, you know, make a direction and then, you know, see what the Lord has. So Taylor told me one Sunday, all right, well, I give you a few more days to hear from the Lord. If you don't hear anything, I'm making a direction. We're going to do this. So I was like, that's fine. And on that week, I just happened to be folding laundry. I wasn't even thinking about it, but I just felt this real release in my spirit to call my primary care doctor and get blood work done. And I hadn't felt that peace before in regards to going to a doctor, so I just took that as from the Lord. I picked up my phone And I said out loud, okay, Lord, well, when do you want me to go? Like tomorrow, in a week, 2 weeks? So I just picked up my calendar and scrolled through, and February 13th popped out at me. So I couldn't say it was from God, but I just, okay, I'll ask for that date. So I called the primary care, and they said, oh, well, she's booked up for a long time. Let me check her next available. And she's like, okay, her next available is February 13th. And I was like, oh, well, that's just the day I was going to ask for. So that was, again, a real confirmation to my heart that the Lord was just like, you're in the right path, guiding you, you know. And I called Taylor right away and told him, and another friend that was praying, and just excited to have that little confirmation. So about a week after we scheduled that appointment, Satan just started attacking like crazy. So let me just see. So, I was in prayer, and the Lord gave me, I've never had a vision before, but it was kind of like, it was a vision, I guess. And basically the long and short of it was, I was really battling and praying in the Holy Spirit over these two people that aren't serving the Lord. And, you know, they're real adversaries to our fellowship and to my life. And I was like, Lord, you know, do you want me to go and pray in the Holy Spirit over them or what? And I just took it as just start praying in the Holy Spirit and battling for them and just battling the Holy Spirit. So I did. And not 3 or 4 days later, one of the people that was in that vision came to my house and was just causing a lot of problems. And then a few days after that, the other person started causing a lot of problems, and just Satan started bringing so many attacks through texts and emails and voice messages and people coming to our house, leaving letters in our mailbox, and so many things that was just so from Satan, trying to get me back to New York and all these crazy things. And during that time, I just had a real peace because the Lord had kind of told me beforehand, just pray in the Holy Spirit and start battling. And that's what I did the whole time. I just prayed in the Holy Spirit throughout the day, and it just brought encouragement and comfort and strength. And when the battle was just going all around.
Hallelujah. This is the refreshing praying in the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes. And then Satan also started coming in different attacks that I hadn't experienced before, some demonic things, you know, in the house in the night. I'd wake up, and one time I woke up and I really sensed a demonic presence in the kids' room, but then the kids weren't there that night. I forgot they had spent the night at, you know, their grandmother's house. And so I was like, you know, even more worried, like my kids aren't here and I'm sensing that. So I just started praying in the Holy Spirit again. And, you know, a few nights later, sensed something on my pillow behind me, and I literally flipped out of bed and grabbed my flashlight, and nothing was there. And Taylor was like, are you going crazy? I'm like, no. Like, and just that demonic presence, I'd never experienced that before. And so it was pretty scary. And I, you know, reached out to Greer. I was like, you know, is there sin in my life? Like, what's going on with this, you know? But again, in retrospect, it's easier to look back and be like, wow, that was so Satan. And just getting my eyes off God, you know, and on all these situations bringing in fear. And so we went to get blood work done. Finally, we got to the 13th, and I was so nervous, and I had started feeling so poorly in the few days, weeks prior, that I just knew everything was going to be terrible. I just knew it. And I went to get the blood work, and such a depression came on that day. I don't deal with depression or something like that, but just that real darkness, depression in my soul, and I probably cried more in 2 days than I have an entire year. But I just couldn't get out of it. I couldn't shake it. I was so overwhelmed with grief that I had caused the cirrhosis in my liver, and now I'm at irreversible damage, and I'm going to die and leave my husband and kids, and Lord, did I really hear from you? So I actually got the blood work on Monday. On Wednesday, I reached out to this holistic lady because I knew my liver was going to be terrible. And I was like, God, I've given you a year. It's not done. I've got to try something else. So I reached out to this holistic lady who deals with autoimmune hepatitis patients and has put some into remission and all this stuff. So we're going back and forth on email, and we're going to send her the money and hire her to be my dietitian for the next 6 months and put me on all these supplements, like $400 a month. And all this stuff. And in the back of my mind, I knew it wasn't God, but I was like, Lord, I'm just using sanctified intellect. Like, I'm just going to try this and you can shut the door if it's not. But again, so then on Friday, we were going to do all this stuff, send this lady the money. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, you know, just go to your primary care and see if the blood work results are done. So I went in, I picked them up, they were there. I got in the car and I was just so terrified to even open it. I was like, so I opened it up and I was just like, no! And it was so good. I couldn't believe it. So I just started praising the Lord in the car and I was so excited. And the kids were in the back like, Mom, what's going on? What's going on? And
Praise Jesus.
So I called Taylor and told him, we just prayed and thanked God on the phone. And then I called you guys, went to your house, because I was just in such disbelief that these things were good. Because in all natural circumstances, my diet had been terrible. I had been so tired, so stressed out. I felt terrible. I was like, it had to be bad, you know? And, in retrospect, you know, as we were meditating on it, we just really felt like the Lord was like, you finally ceased from your own labors.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can get my glory and show myself mighty, you know.
Amen.
And I did feel terrible, though. I had just been repenting because I was like, Lord, I almost had an Ishmael. I almost paid this holistic lady and, you know, went that whole route, you know, and you healed me instead. And we did get to witness to the holistic lady.
Hallelujah.
And she was like, that is an incredible miracle, because she'd never seen anything like that either. So,
isn't the Lord good? Praise God. You know, all of these different aspects of learning and, you know, as you're sharing there toward the end of it, you know, this is where real faith is. You know, we like to, you know, make the ending so perfect all the time in different areas, but even toward the end, that last little battle, it's no different than when Peter was standing at the door and, you know, they couldn't believe it, you know. Been praying and praying without ceasing, and then, you know, here's the answer, and it's like, nah, that can't be him, you know. And so God's so good to us, and all of the faith that's genuine is of him, you know. It's by him, praise God, and his mercy and grace working in us. And so, you know, these are things that are the great experience of ceasing from our labors and entering that rest. So quite an ordeal and some great opportunities, I think, that Father will give you to share the gospel now and doors that he'll open up. But just what a tremendous, what would you say is a key issue that each of you learned in the process that, you know, that might be a blessing to somebody else here, you know, because, we'd rather not go through it. We'd just like to learn from you. Anything, Taylor, that sticks out to you in the process?
Well, as I'm trying to stall and think about that, I just wanted to give a quick praise report about since this has happened. We've been trying to, our next door neighbors, the wife, has lung cancer and is dying, doesn't have much time left. And, you know, has never smoked a day in her life. And the husband also has a severe autoimmune disease.
Mm.
And so we've got to share the Lord with him over the years, but we've been trying to go over, I don't know if you've been to our house in Broad Run, but they have like a 1750s mansion. It's really cool. The Battle of John Mosby and his Rangers happened there. So we've been wanting to go inside for a year and a half. And it just so happened this last weekend, I went to go over to help him move something. And he's like, do you want the tour? So we're like, yeah, sure. And so we go in and, you know, long story short, we got to spend hours with them sharing the gospel and specifically the testimony.
Hallelujah.
Of her healing of
thank
the same,
you,
you know, a similar disease that he has, that his wife's dying from cancer, and just got to sit in their kitchen with them and just, you know, share this praise report and the miracle. And he just started crying and hugging us. And so that was pretty cool just to see just how quickly we got an opportunity to make God big.
Yeah, you know? Just to see the love of your Father, you know, and that's what's so tremendous.
Yep. So I think to your question, I think two things for me. One is just getting counsel, even through tough times, because I tend to be somebody, two things. One, I have a lot of pride, so I always want to keep up an image of myself that, you know, I can handle the situation, I got it, and or two, right, it's one of those things to where, you know, just somebody that always tries to do things on my own, and But just coming to you, to Pastor Ron, to my dad, to Danny Johnson at work. I mean, just throughout this whole process, just continuing to get counsel. And I'd bounce things off of Danny a lot during the day. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is what we're facing. And here's kind of what I'm thinking of doing and what I heard in prayer. And just, you know, even if it's something small, I think mm-hmm. that's just, I mean, it really made it real in this situation, just in the multitude of counselors, you know.
Amen.
So that was one thing. And I think the other thing too is, you know, just as I was walking that out with Sarah and that balance of that I talked about of, you know, letting her faith grow and be there and me, you know, not wanting to speak and kind of not, I don't know, like put out the flax or whatever, you know, just, for me, it was just like, you know, towards the beginning, I just found myself like just not wanting to deal with it almost. Mm-hmm. But, halfway through and towards the end, just like really realizing like, I gotta really seek the Lord. Like I gotta seek the Lord on this. And, it's sad sometimes that it takes, those really tough times of desperation to become desperate for the Lord. And one thing that both Sarah and I have really talked about after this, you know, after the miracle happened is like, you know, let's not wait for something else like this to really seek the Lord this
Amen.
Way. And, I've just been so encouraged with Sarah's life, seeing her pursuit of the Lord in the last year. I mean, I told her that like, you know, if this was just for us to really start seeking the Lord, then, you know, that's all worth it as well. But, you know, her life is, her prayer life, her heart to share the gospel. It's just over the last year, it's just, it constantly challenges me as well. So that's been something that's been pretty exciting for me.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Sarah, anything you can capsulize? And
yeah, I think the biggest thing is just to seek the Lord till you find him. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not hearing from the Lord, there's not something wrong with God. There's something wrong with you, mm-hmm. you know. And if you're not getting that answer to prayer or getting that confirmation in your heart, like, don't give up. Just keep seeking him. And if you're still not getting it, ask him why. Show me what's mm-hmm. going on. What do I need to repent of? Because usually it's something with you.
Well,
it's always something with us, you know.
Yeah, that's so true, you know, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, you know, who gives us liberally. And, you know, these are things that, and in our prayer, you were talking about that darkest moment. And what we do there, part of what we've been emphasizing the last couple of sessions, don't faint. What you do is you pray when you don't even believe. You're questioning that God even exists. But where else do we go? Where else can we go? I mean, you know, these are the things. And in the midst of all of that, you just do what we know to do. Don't feel like it. Don't believe there's any results happening. But that's genuine faith. We just keep walking out what we had and know from those promises that start us on the course in the first place, you know. And so I think for a lot of us, that's a great encouragement that you see as she was persisting in that area. So, you know, don't get discouraged. And when you really need to pray is when you feel like your prayers are worthless, not doing a thing. I don't even feel saved. So what? God can't deny himself. Amen. Yeah. And so that's a blessing. Let's just take a moment. Let's just thank him for what he's done in these lives. Father, we do come and we just rejoice in you and the great work that you've done, Father. We want you glorified. We want you made big in our lives, in the lives of our children, this next generation, that their hearts would be stirred, Father, that they would be able to partake with us in the memorials that you're raising up. When they come and ask mom and dad, what do these stones mean? What are these memorials that we can talk of your great deliverance, that you're for us, Father, and that you've brought us out of bondage, that you might bring us into this land of promise, daily loading us with your great benefits. First of all, your presence. Secondly, Lord, the forgiveness of our sins and the healing of our bodies. We just want to say thank you, Father. You're so good to us, and don't let us take any of these things for granted, and don't ever let us, Father, forget the love and the mercy that you've so freely bestowed upon us. Encourage our hearts, Father, and let us bear one another's burdens. put upon our hearts tonight as we rejoice in this great work. Others that are among us here that are carrying these burdens tonight. They haven't tasted the victory yet, Father. So let us not be weary. Let us take their hands and lift them up and pray and stand fast and call things that are not as though they were. Lord, that you might be glorified in our midst. We'll give you the praise, Father. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and say, don't faint. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.